The true faith versus false faith. Most people assume they have faith because they believe the events of Jesus' life as declared in the Bible, particularly that he was who he claimed to be, the Son of God. But Paul tells us, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. Rom 10:8. So, where is the word again? It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it. Deuteronomy 30:10-14. You must have faith in the word which is within you, in your heart and mouth, faith enough to listen, and faith enough to obey the heard commands. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Rom 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the word of God speak from within your heart. When you hear the word from within your heart, your faith will grow exponentially. So true faith is to be obedient to Christ, the light and word within a man, which speaks to a man, not just belief to the historical accuracy of the Bible's statements on Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself, 1 John 5:10, and the witness is heard and obeyed, then to be eventually seen. Who is he who overcomes has conquered the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? 1 John 5:5. The true belief overcomes the world, and the true faith gets the victory. Listen to and obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk completely in ways that I command you, so that it may be well with you. Jer 7:23. He, Jesus, became the author and source of eternal salvation to all those who heed and obey him. Heb 5:9. By hearing the word within, to be revealed as Jesus, Jesus has authored your faith. Faith is a mystery that is revealed to each man, which faith is a gift from God. The faith that the apostles preached was not an outward faith, but an inward faith. The object of both faiths are the same, but the differences are crucial to realize the promises of God. The two faiths are to concur with history in the Bible that Jesus was the Son of God, born of a virgin, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, etc. That is outward Bible faith, to hear the word of God, which word is in your heart to obey. This is the word of faith that the apostles preached. Hearing and obeying Jesus speak to you from within your heart is operational faith, inward faith, faith given to you by Jesus himself. With persistent obedience to the commands heard from God within your heart, this faith within justifies, purifies, redeems, makes righteous, sanctifies, and saves, to give you peace, joy, and righteousness in union and fellowship with Christ and the Father. This is to see and listen to your beloved, living a holy life that pleases him. George Fox wrote of this inward faith and focus necessary. The Father is in you all, Christ is in you, and the kingdom of heaven is in you. There, in your hearts, is where you will find them all. Know him there searching your hearts, and find him there trying your minds and hearts. Incline your ears, and give ear to him there, who will render to every one of you according to your words and works, whether they are good or evil. Faith is a journey. Faith is a series of revelations. It has a beginning and a finish. Listening to and obeying Jesus is him being the author and finisher of your faith. When you hear him speak to you, Jesus authors your faith by laying the foundation of your faith on rock. Whoever comes to me and listens to my words and does practices, obeys them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man who built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation securely built on a rock. And when the flood arose, the torrent beat violently upon that house, but could not shake it because it was founded on a rock. Luke 6:47-48. And when you hear Jesus speak his words to you, and you believe it to be him, the foundation of your faith has been set in rock, a rock so solid that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Jesus finishes your faith when you see him bring your salvation. To those who persistently and patiently wait for him, he will appear the second time, not to bear sin, but to bring full salvation. Heb 9:28. For the grace of God that brings salvation. Tit 2:11. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring eternal life. Jude 1:21. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. 1 Pet 1:9. And Peter describes the necessity of making every effort to progress in the journey of faith. For this reason, make every effort the maximum possible to add to your faith, virtue excellence, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance and patience, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Therefore, brothers, be diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall. 2 Pet 1:5-7:10. Your faith must stand in your experience of the power of God, not in words spoken by men or reading. The power of God is promised to deliver you, separate you from your sins, which is salvation. You are saved through faith, and by faith your hearts are purified, but obviously in the beginning of faith, you are not purified, neither are you saved. Before purification and salvation, your faith must be tested in several trials, in which you must grievously suffer in order to be purified of sin. You must contend for the faith, grow in the faith, build up your faith, increase in faith, perfect what is lacking in your faith, fight the good fight of faith, until victory when your faith is finished by the finisher. Faith is a process and a journey, the end of which is to see Christ bring your salvation, to bring your eternal life. James corrected the shortcut of believing in Jesus, being all that is necessary for salvation, writing to the Jewish Christians, "You say you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble," James 2:19. Realize James was writing to Jewish believers of the Father, the Word, Son, and the Holy Spirit being one Spirit, and without conflict to "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Deuteronomy 6:4. So James is in effect saying, "You say you believe in Jesus, you do well, the demons do too, but they tremble at his name, do you? For Jesus to be your Lord, he must order your thoughts, words, and deeds. For Jesus to be your King, you must be ruled by him in your heart. He is King only where he is King. The preaching of the Word within differs with Christendom, which teaches the Bible to be the Word. Yet the Bible refers to the words within it as scriptures and the Word of God to be Jesus. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. This is clearly not the Bible, it is Christ, the Word of God. So, the Quakers said that unless you heard the Lord speak within you, and believed him to be the Son of God, as evidenced by your obedience to the light and words commands to you, you really did not have the faith as Paul defined it. Faith comes by hearing the word of God or Christ. Romans 10:17 is a critical scripture for understanding what is faith. Remember, Paul tells us in Rom 10:8 that he preached the word of faith that is in your heart. So faith is hearing the word of Christ from within your heart and recognizing it as the Spirit of God speaking to you or Christ speaking to you and believing it enough to obey. Thus to believe is to believe, trust, depend on, obey on the word Christ heard in your heart. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep practice, obey it. Christendom would have you believe that hearing someone read the words of the Bible is hearing the word of God, and if you believe them, you are a believer. But this only results in belief in a book and faith in the words in a book. Yet Paul has just told us that faith comes from hearing the word, which word is in our hearts. So to have real faith, you must hear Christ from within your heart and believe whom you hear to be the Son of God, and believe enough to completely obey him. Paul clearly states that we must be taught by hearing Jesus speak to us. You must not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling pangs of conscience, have given themselves over to fleshly indulgences to work all impurities with greediness. But you have learned differently from Christ, assuming you have actually heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Ephesians 4:17-21. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will instruct sinners in the way. He will guide the meek in what is right, and he will teach the humble his way. Psalm 25:8-9. I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. Psalm 32:8. Then, not a book about Jesus, but Jesus himself is the source and author of your faith. True faith, of which Jesus is the author and finisher perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. By obedience to the word Jesus, you have faith. For Jesus became the author and source of eternal salvation to all those who heed and obey him. Hebrews 5:9, to believe is to obey. Obedience leads to salvation. Obedience leads to righteousness. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of in your heart, God, and keep practice, obey it." Luke 11:28, Jesus said, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it obey." Luke 8:21, if you think this means hearing someone read the Bible, you have missed the possibility of seeking to hear from God yourself. You will have missed the blessing. You will have missed salvation. You must seek, listen, and obey to find any blessing from God. Faith is hearing the word of the Lord within you and obeying him. Paul is not talking about Christ sanctifying his church with the Bible when he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You must hear and obey continually to be cleansed or ever be sanctified. To hear, you must go to him. You must wait on him, listen silently, with the humility of a sinner in need of his changing power, grace. Being obedient to the voice of the Lord, the word within, Christ the light later appears within your heart. Christ, the light, who enlightens every man that comes into the world. The early Quakers were persecuted because they preached that one must receive the light's convictions as Christ, which being acknowledged as true and coming from Christ within, would result in purification by the grace of God removing defects from the heart. By dwelling in the light, the blood of Christ would cleanse them from all sin. The Quakers further said that one must witness, see, and feel their salvation, which comes after purity with the glorious return of Christ within, resulting in union with God and entrance to the kingdom of heaven while on earth and then forever. Water baptism, going to sect services, praying without words from the Holy Spirit, and simply reading the Bible without guidance of spirit interpretation were stated to be an abomination, coming from the carnal mind, which is enmity to God. Only when the old man is dead and a completely new regenerated creature has appeared with a circumcised heart, only through the cross is the work of salvation finished. So rather than presumption of being saved, they must have, even the inclination to sin, removed by Christ from their heart, thereby becoming pure, entering the rest, entering the kingdom, entering paradise. The early Quakers said that salvation is to see one's Savior bringing salvation and to have fellowship with Christ and God. A salvation that results after the crucifixion of the selfish spirit to purity on the inward cross of self-denial. They testified to entering the kingdom of heaven that Christ said he had come to preach. The Quakers were sent to preach the same message that Paul was told to preach by Jesus, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may thus receive forgiveness of sins, release from sin slavery, and an inheritance among those who are purified by faith in me. So the true faith is in a God of power who can purify he who believes and seeks him to that purpose. When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And everyone with this hope in him purifies himself, just as he, Jesus, is pure. 1 John 3:2-3. This good news of obeying the light and word within you, finally resulting in purity and seeing Jesus appear within, was heresy to the sects, who looked to an outward God in a far-off heaven, and who heeded the words of the Bible instead of the light and word, Christ, within them. Christ the Word speaks to us with words that we hear in our heart, and Christ shows us spiritual things by his light of the word that we see in our heart. The early Quakers told all the sects that their failure to recognize and obey Christ within was like the Jews, who had knowledge of the scriptures, but rejected Christ as the Messiah. Yet, what the early Quakers preached, and for what the Episcopalians, Baptists, Presbyterians, and Congregationalist Puritans imprisoned them, seized their property, and even killed them, was plainly stated throughout the Bible, as below. Am I not a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God far away? Jer 23:23. What? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. 1 Cor 6:19. So that they should seek the Lord, and perhaps might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move, and have our being. Acts 17:24-28. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 2 Cor 6:16. Lev 26:12. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. F 4:6. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Gal 4:19. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? 1 Cor 3:16. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, F 3:17. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Col 1:27. Because what may be known of God is revealed in them, for God has shown it to them. Rom 1:19, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Romans 8:18, examine yourselves, whether you are in the faith, prove yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are reprobates tested, rejected? 2 Cor 13:5, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with words from Christ in your hearts, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. See 0L3:16, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ to rule a man as his king, doing his will, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is your life because of righteousness. Rom 8:9-10, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Gal 4:6, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. 1 John 2:27, if a man abides in me, and I in him, he produces much fruit. Love, joy, peace, quietness, and confident trust forever. Patience, including longsuffering, steadfastness, and perseverance. Kindness, including morality and integrity. Goodness, faith, gentleness, including meekness and humility. And self-control, mastery of sensual appetites, passions, and desires. John 15:5-6, Gal 5:22-23, when you bear, produce, or bring forth much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show that you are truly my disciples, true followers. John 15:8, to seek God and find him, to see him within, is the whole purpose of life. He, God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the allotted times and the boundaries of their habitation, so that they should seek the Lord and perhaps might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. Acts 17:26-28, F4:6, the great controversy of faith between the early Quakers and other sects of Christianity often centered around what the blood of Jesus purchased for the believer. The other sects said, and say, Jesus' sacrifice made any believer righteous and justified, with nothing else required on their part. The Quakers said his blood purchased forgiveness with sincere repentance for past sins, and allowed them to approach the throne of God, requesting his powerful grace to remove sin, and the desire to sin, from their hearts. And that justification and lasting righteousness only came after the workings of grace to convince them of sin and remove it from their hearts. Thus the Quakers said Christ's blood could cleanse them from all sin and the desire to sin, not just forgive them for sins. The early Quakers said a faith that could not release you from sin, and the power of Satan was only a form, shell, of godliness without power. Their faith was in a God who could destroy sin within them, releasing them from the captivity of sin, releasing them from darkness to dwell in the light and enjoy fellowship with the Son and the Father. Grace does not result in instant salvation. Rather, grace is a teaching process, accessed by faith, which brings salvation, after the Lord has redeemed you from all iniquity and purified you, resulting in your having a zeal for good works, just as defined by the Apostle Paul in Titus 2:11-14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. As we receive the blessed fulfillment of our hope, even the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, lawless deeds, sin, and purify for himself a people who are his very own, zealous for good works. Titus 2:11-14, from George Fox's journal. You must have fellowship with Christ in his sufferings. 1 Pet 4:12-13, if you will reign with him, you must suffer with him. 2 Tim 2:12, if you will live with him, you must die with him. 2 Tim 2:11, and if you die with him, you must be buried with him. Rom 6:4, and being buried with him in the true baptism, you also rise with him. Col 2:12, from George Fox's letter 262. The true hope, the true cross, the true faith, the true worship, the true religion, the true way, the true image, and true fellowship have been lost since the apostles' days, among those called Christians who are out of the life, and those who have lost the cross of Christ, which is the power of God, in which is the true fellowship, they have set up a wooden or a stone cross, so false crosses and false Christians. Those who have lost the true hope, which purifies, as he is pure, they have set up a purgatory to cleanse them when they are dead. And others cry up a body of sin and death on this side of the grave, with their hypocrite's hope. And they have lost the true ministry, and set up a false one, to preach up imperfection. Now people were imperfect in old Adam before Christ came, for the law made nothing perfect. But the true minister, Christ in you the hope of glory, does make perfect, both in the apostles' days and now. Christ in you the hope of glory, said the apostle, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So the perfection is in Christ Jesus, the imperfection is in old Adam. So this is the true hope that purifies, which everyone who has it purifies himself, even as he is pure. And everyone who does not have a possession of this hope pleads for impurity and imperfection, and a body of sin and a body of death to their grave, and a purgatory when they are dead. These have a profession of the Scriptures, like the Pharisees, and the hypocrites' hope which shall perish. And the true faith has been lost since the apostles' days, the true faith which purifies the heart, which is the faith of God's elect, which faith gives victory over that which separates from God, in which faith you all please God, which faith is the gift of God, and Christ is the author of it. Everyone look to him for it, for the finishing of it, who is the author of it. In this faith, all the saints have unity in that which gives victory over the devil. For by the faith, which is the shield, they resist him and quench his fiery darts. And they resist him who would defile them and make them imperfect, and lead them into those things which would displease God. And all who are out of this faith, they cry, no victory while we are upon the earth, but they must have a body of sin to the grave, and a purgatory to cleanse them in. These are all in the error concerning the faith. These have made shipwreck of faith and a good conscience. These are all in the dead faith, and so cannot preach in the true and living faith of God's elect. These are all out of unity, for the unity is in the faith, which gives victory over the devil. These are out of the righteous life, in which the righteous lives by his faith. The life that I now live is by the faith of the Son of God, yet it is not I, but Christ who lives in me, said the apostle. And all who walk in the faith of God's elect, which is the victory over the devil, walk in unity over the enmity. And the true worship has been lost since the apostles' days. Yes, the worship that Christ set up more than 1600 years ago, in the Spirit and in the truth. Yes, in the Spirit of God, which was before the spirit of the devil was, who is out of truth, and in the truth, which the devil is out of. In this Spirit and in this truth, God, who is a Spirit and the God of truth, seeks that men should worship him in the truth. And so every man and woman must come to truth in the inward parts, and to the Spirit of God within themselves, if they are to be worshippers of God in the Spirit and truth, which the devil did not abide in. And this is the standing and perfect worship, in which there is unity in the truth, for the enmity is out of it, and he cannot get into it. Glory be to God forever. And men who have erred from the worship that Christ set up, more than 1600 years ago, they are away from the truth within and the Spirit of God. And they have worshipped images by that unclean spirit. They have worshipped the works of their own hands. They have worshipped the dragon. They have worshipped the beast. They have worshipped the creature. They have worshipped angels, persecuted one another about their worships, and they have persecuted the true worshippers. These are in the blind zeal who have hated the light. And so none can worship God, who is a spirit, unless they come to the truth in their inward parts and to the Spirit of God in themselves, by which spirit they must know God to be a spirit and to worship him in the spirit. They must know God to be the God of truth and then worship him in the truth, which the devil is out of in the enmity and adversary. And this is the standing, perfect, infallible worship that Christ Jesus, the perfect, infallible man, set up more than 1600 years ago. And the true way has been lost since the apostles' days, which Christ set up more than 1600 years ago, who said, I am the way to the Father, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So no one comes out of old Adam except by Christ, the second Adam. No one comes out of darkness except by Christ, the light. No one comes out of death and from under the prince of death, the power of it, except by Christ, the life. So he is the way to God. No one comes out of unrighteousness except by Christ, the righteousness. No one comes out of the wisdom below, except by Christ, who is the wisdom of God, which is from above. And no one comes out of error and evil, except by Christ, the truth. So he is the door and the way to God Almighty. And no man comes to the Father, except by him. No one comes out of captivity or prison, except by Christ the heavenly man. And so, they having erred from Christ, the way, they have set up so many ways in Christendom among themselves, and fall out about their ways with one another, enmity being among them. Now Christ is the way, which the unclean cannot walk in, who was before the unclean way was. For he is over all the unclean, and he is over all the perverse and crooked ways and mountainous ways and evil and unrighteous and ungodly ways. He is over them all. And none come to this new and living way, Christ Jesus, but who come to the grace of God in their hearts, the Spirit of God in their hearts. So he is the new and the living way, who is the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, set up from everlasting to everlasting. And all who are out of this new and living way, though they have all the scriptures from the beginning of Genesis to the Revelation, yet they are dead and under the power of death, which Christ the way destroys through death, yes, the power of death, the devil, and was before death and his power was. Here is the new and the living way. And the true religion has been lost and erred from since the apostles' days. The religion that is pure from above and undefiled before God, which keeps from the spots of the world, which is to visit the widows and the fatherless. Now those who are out of this religion have made many religions, but they are spotted and defiled, and they cry up a body of death and sin and imperfection to the grave and a purgatory when they are dead. And their widows and their fatherless and strangers go begging up and down their streets and highways. So their streets and highways are judges against them and their bodies of death, and their purgatories manifest their errors and ignorance from this pure religion, which comes down from above, which is not of man's making, but comes down from God, which is pure before God and undefiled in his sight, which keeps from the spots of the world. Mark the spots. And these do not cry up a body of death, nor a purgatory when they are dead. They are kept from the spots of this world. So those are far degenerated from this pure religion from above, which is undefiled before God, which keeps from the spots of this world and leads to visit the fatherless, widows, and strangers, whose religion is that they must have a body of sin and death to the grave and a purgatory when they are dead. And their fatherless and widows and strangers must go a-begging in the streets. All these religions are from below and of their own making and not from above, but of him who is out of truth. And all those who come to this pure religion, that is from above and come to receive it, it must be by the Spirit of God within and the light of Christ within and his grace within and his faith within. And the image of God in them, which man and woman were renewed into by Christ, has been lost since the apostles' days, and therefore they have set up so many inventions of their own brain and outward images and likenesses and worship them. For man and woman was in the image of God before they fell. And when they fell from the image of God, they set up many images of God and man and other creatures of things in heaven and things in earth. And when Christ came, he renewed man into the image of God again and into his likeness. But since the apostles' days, they have lost this image of God and this likeness, and made a profession of Christ and the apostles' words, as the Jews did of the law, and worshiped the works of their own hands and images. But now Christ is renewing man again into the image of God, as they were in the apostles' days. Yes, also I say, that Adam and Eve were in before they fell. Yes, and in this image of God they will reign over all images and image makers, either with hand or brain. For they have made those images and likenesses by the evil spirit, that is out of truth, which the spirit of truth leads out of, and above them, and from their works. Glory to God forever, for his image and his likeness is led into by Christ Jesus, and into Adam and Eve's state before they fell, and not only into that state, but into Christ Jesus who never fell. And the true praying has been lost since the apostles' days. For none can pray truly, except by the Spirit of God, to God, who is a spirit, or to Christ, who is a quickening spirit. And all those who have erred from the Spirit cannot abide to hear talk of it, and yet may have the scripture from Genesis to the Revelation, and make prayers and say them over, and give them to others to say over, and so pray by the book, and that must help his infirmity. And so have erred from the Spirit, and from the true doctrine of the apostles, who said, the Spirit must help their infirmities, and they must pray in the Spirit. So all who grieve and vex and quench the Spirit of God cannot pray in it to God, who is a Spirit. but they think to be heard by their much babbling and ask and pray, but do not receive. And everyone must come to the Spirit of God in themselves, and to the light, and to the faith that purifies his heart, and to the Spirit of grace and supplication. And by this his mind is to be turned towards Christ, who prays to God and asks in the name of Jesus and in the power and light and Spirit of Christ. And the true fellowship has been lost, and sanctification and belief and the righteousness since the apostles' days. For many have had the letter but lost the life, the belief but lost the possession, the profession but lost the substance, Christ Jesus. But the true fellowship is in the gospel, the power of God, which was before the devil was. And since men lost this power of God, they have not known the scriptures aright. But they have set up fellowships by that spirit which is of him who is out of the truth, who have destroyed one another, and persecuted those who are in the power of God, which is the gospel, which was before the devil, and all the fellowships in old Adam were, and will be when they are all gone. Now the gospel fellowship is a perfect fellowship, a pure and a holy fellowship. It is an everlasting fellowship. For the power of God is everlasting, it is over the Jews' fellowship in the outward things, and the Gentiles' invented fellowships, and the fellowships of bread, water, and wine. For these are no mysteries, the world's fellowship is no mystery, the fellowship of bread, water, and wine is no mystery. But the gospel fellowship is a mystery, and none see it, but those who come to the light of Christ, and to the truth in the inward parts. For this is a standing fellowship, the gospel, the power of God, and all fellowships out of it are imperfect and corrupt, where the body of death and sin and their purgatory are pleaded for, which fellowships below men make and are of men and from men. But the gospel is not of men, nor by men but of God and from Christ. So this fellowship is the church fellowship that is in God, and the gospel fellowship is a pure fellowship, which gospel brings life and immortality to light, and expels away all that which darkens and burdens and loads the soul, mind, spirit, and heart. So this is glad tidings to the immortal soul, which comes by the immortal power up to the immortal God, where life and immortality comes to light, and to shine over him that has darkened it. Here is liberty to the immortal soul, mind, and spirit in the gospel, the power of God, which is the gospel fellowship, which is a mystery, but bondage and darkness to the other. So life and immortality are hidden from all those who make fellowships below, and have their fellowships by men, and of men, who are out of the power of God, the gospel, and make fellowships of old authors, and make fellowships of the scriptures. But being erred from the Spirit, they do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God, and there they are in strife and enmity in their fellowships, and falling out about their bread and wine, some taking it one way, some another, and falling out about their handiworks and plucking people from one another to themselves, and not to Christ, nor his gospel fellowship, which came not by men, neither was it of man. So those who deny revelation cannot preach Christ until he is revealed, nor can they preach the gospel until it is revealed. And those who say revelations have ceased, they may as well say, there is no gospel, and so have no Christ to preach, and are only ministers of the letter. Neither do they have the secrets of God to preach, which are revealed to those who fear him. And that is the spirit of darkness from the prince of darkness, that is out of the fellowship of the gospel, where enmity is, which speaks itself sufficiently abroad among all their fellowships. And he cannot get into this fellowship of the gospel, the power of God, which was before the devil was. And the righteousness has been lost since the apostles' days. Therefore people have been found in their own self-righteousness and unrighteousness. And therefore they are all found out of peace with God, and with Christ, and with one another. For where there is righteousness, there is peace. And sanctification has been lost since the apostles' days. Therefore both teachers and hearers are found in uncleanness, and preach up the body of death, and sin, and a purgatory, and so have forsaken him who should sanctify them, and make them clean. And the sanctifying belief has been lost since the apostles' days. For he who believes is born of God, and he who believes in the light may become a child of the light. Everyone that comes into the world is enlightened by Christ, that they should believe in the light, as he commands them, and so become children of the light. And he who believes overcomes the world. And if there be no overcoming on this side of the grave, as the world's preachers, made by men, say, then there is no true believing on this side of the grave. And therefore the world is not overcome in them. And he who is their God is of the world also. For he who believes overcomes the world, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So this greater overcomes the less, and he who believes passes from death, and sin, which brings death and the devil the power of death, so becomes a child of light and of the day, and of the light which was before darkness was, or the prince of it. For this is the belief that overcomes the world, which sanctifies the unbelieving husband and the unbelieving wife, else their children would be unholy, but now they are clean. 1 Cor 7:14. For this belief is greater than he that is of the world, which overcomes him that would defile. For this belief is Christ, which passes from death to life. It takes away the root of sin and iniquity, which is complained of in the scriptures, which they were born in, though they had the law, which made nothing perfect, which took hold of their outward actions or branches. But this belief makes the root holy, and if the root is holy, the branches that spring from the root will be holy also. The 17th century Protestants believed they were righteous, saved, and justified by their belief in Jesus, but they denied they were sanctified, made holy, claiming that sanctification was impossible on earth. Fox is using the scripture of the believing spouse sanctifying their other half and their children to prove sanctification was possible on earth. But he is not saying the believing in Jesus immediately made the believer holy. Only believers become holy. Only persistent believers become holy. Only the obedient are believers. Only the seekers are believers. That kind of believer is saved, purified, justified, and sanctified while on earth. 20th century Protestants are not beyond claiming instant sainthood. And all you who preach up a body of sin and iniquity, and that you must have a body of sin and death to the grave, and a purgatory when you are dead. Neither man nor woman of you believes correctly, for the believing wife sanctifies the unbelieving husband, and the believing husband sanctifies the unbelieving wife. Else their children would be unclean, but now they are holy. So you have all erred from this sanctifying belief since the apostles' days, but have made beliefs and creeds of your own, and then say, there is no overcoming on this side of the grave. You may as well say, there is no true belief. George Fox letter 230 friends, stand still and see, be still and hear, sit at Jesus' feet, and choose the better thing. To do the work of God is to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ the light, and your hope and faith are to stand in God, and in his Son, walk by that faith which he is the author of, and walk in the light, and walk in the Spirit. As everyone has received Christ, so walk in him, and so serve God in the Spirit, and worship him in the Spirit and in the truth. For God is not worshipped out of the Spirit and truth. The babe's milk is from the Word, and their bread is from above, and there is no true religion but what is pure from above. And the staid, patient people abide in their own house, but the whore is gadding abroad. And there is no true church but where Christ exercises his offices in and among them, and they are asking their husband at home, and he is their head. And the true marriage to Christ the heavenly man is witnessed by those who are flesh of his flesh, and bone of his bone. None come to be children of the light except those who believe in the light. No sons of God, but by receiving Christ and by being led by his Spirit. No coming into all truth, but by being led by the Spirit of truth. No running the true race in the straight way to get to the glorious crown, but with patience. No purifying, but by coming to Christ, the hope of glory, the purifier, and no overcoming, but by believing in Christ the light, and he who does so is born of God. And there is no true witness within but the light, the life, and Spirit of Christ, the true record. No true faith but that which Christ is the author of, which gives victory. No true anchor to the immortal soul but by Christ, the hope of glory. So by hope you're saved. No true liberty but in Christ, and in his law of the Spirit of life, and in his gospel. No true knowledge of God but by his light and Spirit in the heart. No salvation but by the name of Jesus. No true praying but in the Spirit. No true singing but in the Spirit. No true fast but that which breaks the bond of wickedness. No true fellowship but in the pure faith, light, Spirit, and gospel of God and Christ. No true foundation but Christ to build upon. No true way but Christ. No true seed but what Christ has sown in the heart. No true rest but in Christ. No true peace but in Christ. No true service to God and Christ but in the newness of life. No knowing the things of God but by the Spirit of God. No knowing the Son nor the Father, but by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. No knowing the Scriptures, but by the same Holy Ghost that moved the holy men to give them forth. No calling Jesus Lord, but by the Holy Ghost by which he was conceived. No grafting into Christ, but by believing in the light, which is called the light in men and the life in him. No true wisdom, but from above, and no true receiving it but in the fear of the Lord, and no true understanding of spiritual things but what Christ gives, no divine reason but in the faith that Christ is the author of, which gives victory over that which is unreasonable and separates from God. And no true love of God, but what he sheds abroad in the heart. And to know a fellowship with Christ in his death and sufferings is above the fellowship of bread and wine, which will have an end. But the fellowship in the gospel and Holy Spirit has no end. George Fox Letter 306. Do not grow barren, but abiding in the root, you will spring upward and bring forth much fruit in this life, and in the life to come inherit life eternal. And so your lives being hid with Christ in God, you will be made conformable to his image, and know the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship with him in his sufferings, and the fellowship with him in his death, so that you may have fellowship with him in his resurrection and life. And as you have borne the image of the earthly, so also you may bear the image of the heavenly. And as your vessels have been full of wrath and dishonor, so your vessels may be full of his mercies and praises to God. And as in your old earth has dwelt unrighteousness, so you may see and know the new earth, in which dwells righteousness. There is a belief that God is not the author of, for such do not have the witness in themselves of what they believe. And a belief may be of God and Christ and of the Scriptures, and yet such may be in death, for they are not in Christ the light and so are not children of the light. And there is a faith, which Christ is not the author of, and that faith does not give the victory, nor purifies the heart. Neither do they please God, nor have access to God in it, and that is the dead faith which has no works. And there is a hope that does not purify, and that hope is that which is not of Christ, who saves and purifies as he is pure. But that hope is the hope of the hypocrites. And there is a way that may be defiled, where all the wolves, dogs, and beasts, and the unclean pass, and has many turning ways in it, and many crooked, rough, and mountainous ways in it. And there is the broad way that leads to destruction. And these are not the way of Christ, that leads to life, which is the narrow and straight way. And there are many names in the world by which there is no salvation. The beast has many names, which all the world wonders after, and receive the beast's mark, that he marks them with, his beastly spirit and power which he has from the dragon. But there is only one name under the whole heaven by which people shall be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. And they gathering in his name, by whom the world was made, and receiving their Father, the Lord God Almighty's name and mark in their foreheads, Christ is in the midst of them. They will not receive the beast's mark, and will not be marked by him. And there are many religions in the world, all which are spotted and defiled with the world's spirit, with which they destroy one another. But there is only one pure religion from above, that is undefiled in the sight of God, and that keeps from the spots of the world and leads to visit the widow and fatherless in their distress. And those who receive this pure religion from God, who is above, it is by God's Spirit, the fruits of which is love. And this pure undefiled religion from God has the glory in all the hearts of those who receive it, who is the author of it. And it is above all those religions that are below, that are made by men's earthly, sensual, and devilish wisdom, who with it compel people to conform to them, and such are not gentle, pure, nor peaceable, as the wisdom which is from above is. And there is only one true worship, which the devil is out of, and his unclean spirit, and he cannot get into it, which worship is in the spirit and in the truth, which Christ the heavenly man has set up more than 1600 years ago. And everyone who comes into the spirit and into the truth are the true worshipers of the God of truth, who is a spirit. And all who are not in the spirit and truth are in the beast's worship, out of the spirit of God and in his wrath under the dragon's power. And there are many instructors who cause people to err. But there is only one spirit of truth, which leads into all truth. And this is the one spirit that led the prophets and apostles to give forth the scriptures. And all the instructors who are out of it cause people to err from the spirit that the prophets and apostles were in, and so are in confusion. And there is one leader, Christ Jesus, whom God has given. And all who are not led by him are led into the ditch, the corrupting place, and they tell them, there is no perfection here. And all the learned in Babel's confused tongues, who have the letter of the scriptures, yet follow their own spirits, see not, and the divination of their own brains, and use their tongues, these build up Babylon again, who are not in the spirit the prophets and apostles were in, and do know the tongue of the learned, nor the scriptures of Christ and the prophets and the apostles, but they are like a sealed up book to them. and therefore they are raging and contending about the meanings of them, teaching their people, by their example, to do the same. George Fox to Princess Elizabeth of Holland. Princess Elizabeth, I have heard of your tenderness towards the Lord and his holy truth, from some friends that have visited you, and also by some of your letters, which I have seen. Which indeed is a great thing, for a person of your rank to have such a tender mind after the Lord and his precious truth, since so many are swallowed up with luxuriousness and the pleasures of this world. Yet all make an outward profession of God and Christ one way or other, but without any deep inward sense and feeling of him. For not many of the mighty or wise of the world that can become fools for Christ's sake, or can become low in the humility of Christ Jesus from their mighty state, through which they might receive a mightier estate and a mightier kingdom, through the inward Holy Spirit, the divine light and power of God. And a mightier wisdom, which is from above, pure and peaceable. Which wisdom is above what is below, that is earthly, sensual, and devilish, by which men destroy one another about their religions, ways, worships, and churches. But this is not from God or Christ. The wisdom which is from above, by which all things were made and created, which the holy fear of God in the heart is the beginning of, keeps the heart clean. By this wisdom are all God's children to be ordered, and with it come to order all things to God's glory. This is the wisdom that is justified of her children. In this fear of God and wisdom, my desire is that you may be preserved to God's glory. For the Lord comes to teach his people himself, and to set up his banner, that the nations may flow to it. There has been an apostasy since the apostles' days from the divine light of Christ, which should have given them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus, and from the Holy Spirit, which would have led them into all truth. And therefore people have set up so many leaders outside themselves to give them knowledge. And also from the holy and precious faith which Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of, which faith purifies the heart and gives victory over what separates from God. Through which faith they have access to God, and in which faith they please God, the mystery of which is held in a pure conscience. And also from the gospel which was preached in the apostles' days, which gospel is the power of God, which brings life and immortality to light in man and woman, by which people should have seen over the devil that has darkened them, which gospel will preserve all those who receive it in life and immortality. For the eyes of people have been after men, and not after the Lord, who writes his law in the hearts, and puts it into the minds of all the children of the new covenant of light, life, and grace, through which they all come to know the Lord, from the least to the greatest. So that the knowledge of the Lord may cover the earth, as the waters do the sea. This work of the Lord is beginning again, as it was in the apostles' days. People shall come to receive an anointing in them from the Holy One, by which they shall know all things, and shall not need any man to teach them, but as the anointing teaches them. And also to know how the righteousness of faith speaks, the word within the heart and mouth, to obey it and to do it. This was the word of faith the apostles preached, which is now received and preached again, and is the duty of all true Christians to receive. So now people are coming out of the apostasy to the light of Christ and his Spirit, to receive faith from him and not from men, to receive the gospel from him, their anointing from him, the Word. And as they receive him, they declare him freely, as his command was to his disciples, and is still to the learners and receivers of him. For the Lord God and his Son Jesus Christ have come to teach his people, and to bring them from all the world's ways to Christ the way, the truth, and the life, who is the way to the Father, and from all the world's teachers and speakers, to him who is the speaker and teacher, Heb 8:10-11. And from all the world's worshipers, to worship God in the Spirit and in the truth, which worship Christ set up more than 1600 years ago, when he put down the Jews' worship at the temple at Jerusalem, and the worship at the mountain where Jacob's well was. And to bring people from all the world's religions, which they have made since the apostles' days, to the religion that was set up by Christ and his apostles, which is pure and undefiled before God, and keeps from the spots of the world. And to bring them out of all the world's churches and fellowships, made and set up since the apostles' days, to the church that is in God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Thessalonians 1:9. And to bring to the unity and fellowship in the Holy Spirit, which mortifies, circumcises, and baptizes, to plunge down sin and corruption, that has gotten up in man and woman by transgression. In this Holy Spirit there is holy fellowship and unity, Yes, it is the bond of the Prince of Princes, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords peace, which heavenly peace all true Christians are to maintain with spiritual weapons, not with carnal. And now, my friend, the holy men of God wrote the scriptures as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And all Christendom is in contention about those scriptures, because they are not led by the same Holy Ghost as those were who wrote the scriptures, which Holy Ghost they must come to in themselves and be led by, if they come into all the truth of them, and to have the comfort of God, Christ, and them. For none can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost, and all that call Christ Lord without the Holy Ghost take his name in vain. Likewise, all who name his name are to depart from iniquity. Then they name his name with reverence, in truth and righteousness. O therefore feel the grace and truth in your heart that comes by Jesus Christ, that will teach you how to live and what to deny. It will establish your heart, season your words, and bring your salvation, and will be a teacher to you at all times. By it you may receive Christ, from whom it comes, and as many as receive him, to them he gives power not only to stand against sin and evil, but to become the sons of God. And if sons, then heirs of a life, and a world and kingdom without end, and of the eternal riches and treasures of that kingdom. So in haste, with my love in the Lord Jesus Christ, who tasted death for every man and bruises the serpent's head that has been between God and man, that through Christ man may come to God again and praise him through Jesus Christ the Amen, the spiritual, heavenly rock and foundation for all God's people to build upon, to the praise and glory of God, who is over all, blessed forevermore. George Fox, Amsterdam, the 7th of the 6th month, 1677. Selections from Letter 265, along with George Fox's translation to the kingdom, as described in the first chapter of his journal. This letter, exceeding all his other letters, convinced me that George Fox did not speak like the scribes. Instead, he spoke and wrote with heavenly authority and understanding, for he lived in the kingdom, in the presence of God. All you who are believers in the light of Christ, which manifests darkness, you are kept by the power of God unto the day of salvation. Asterisk: a believer in the light of Christ believes the light's anonymous pleadings, which every man hears at some point in his life, to turn from his evil behaviors, deeds of darkness. And because he loves the truth that the light shows him, he repents. So though your salvation is not yet completed, yet you have your keeper, the power of God, who neither slumbers nor sleeps, and will keep you until that day. For those virgins in the parable, they had their keeper, by which they were preserved in their virginity, which they were never accused of losing. For it is said that the cry was at midnight. That is, the mid-time of darkness, for darkness is called night, and the voice of the bridegroom was at midnight, arise. Now those who had no oil in their lamps did not enter with the bridegroom, but those who had oil did. Now that which keeps is the power of God, and it preserves pure to him in the virginity, from that which would defile the virgin mind, and the virgin soul and spirit. For it is all from the same man of sin who defiles the mind, and the spirit, who leads them out to defile their bodies and corrupt them. Therefore all are to mind their keeper, the power of God, which was before the devil, the man of sin, was, by which power of God they have oil in their lamps, through which their lamps may always be burning in their temple, and such come to be the temple of God. For those who defile the temple, defile their souls and bodies, they let in the defiler and destroyer, and so their lamps go out, and they go from God and his power, the keeper, and such God will destroy. And so as many as are kept by the power of the Lord until the day of salvation, though the day of salvation is not yet completed, yet in the day of salvation the people of God are a willing people, even in this day of his power. And so they are to abide with their keeper, which is the power of God. For while they are in the night, and not in the day of salvation, nor day of power, though they may be in the wilderness of temptations and trouble, yet may feel the power, the keeper, to lead through all these things, out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, through Jordan, the river of judgment, and over the Canaanites. And therefore everyone's faith is to stand in the power of God, and believe in the power of God, that will bring to the day of God's power, and to the day of his salvation. You are kept by the power of God to reach the day of salvation, providing you stay on the inward cross of self-denial in the narrow way, for the outward Jew did not enter, because of unbelief. And so this great foul man of sin has defiled all mankind outwardly and inwardly. And therefore all are to have their faith to stand in the power of God, their keeper. For the defilement is in the night, by the power of darkness, and through it. Therefore let your faith stand in the power of God, your keeper, which will keep body and soul and spirit clean and blameless to the day of redemption and day of salvation. And by the power of God such will have a dominion over the foul man of sin, the devil. For it is he and people who leads and tempts to outward defilement of their body, and so to lose their virginity. And it is he who draws their minds from God and Christ, and from God's ways and his worship and his truth and his spirit and his grace, and his faith that he works in people. Therefore, if your faith stands in the power of God, all is preserved by it, body, soul, and spirit, in purity and a hidden mind, soul, and spirit, secret to the Lord, who is a spirit, and they are preserved by his power, their keeper. For it is as the saying of some of the world, who are the most modest, that they will keep their outward virginity to the day of their death or of their marriage. But such as before spoken of, who have no esteem of their bodies, no more than unruly beasts, give up their bodies to uncleanness, and themselves to work wickedness, and so forsake their keeper, the power of God, which should keep both inwardly and outwardly. And so all the inward virgin minds, and souls and spirits that are hidden to the Lord, they will die before they will lose their inward virginity, but will keep it to the marriage of the Lamb, as the wise virgins did. By which power they are preserved over the man of sin, whom Christ their husband bruises the head of, and destroys him and his works. For Christ was before the man of sin was, the devil or his works either, who was glorified with the Father before the world began. And therefore all such virgins who have come to Christ, and are married to him, Christ your husband, he will deal with the foul man of sin, and bruise his head, and break his power and strength to pieces, and will take him and cast him into everlasting fire. And therefore keep your faith in the power of God, which will bring you to the marriage of the Lamb. By which power of God, which was before the devil was, you have oil in your lamps, that your lamps may burn always. By which power of God you may come to the day of God's power, and all to be a willing people, to serve God and walk in truth, and to obey him. And so by the same power of God, which is your keeper, you may come to the day of salvation. You may have the song of salvation, and joy of salvation, and comfort of salvation, and the possession of salvation, and be heirs of the same. And so here you have your keeper, that is, the power of God. And Peter's words answer to this, you have the sure prophetic word which you do well to take heed unto, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arises in you hearts. 2 Pet 1:19 signifying it is sufficient, which you must take heed to, it will lead you to the day dawning, the light that shines in the dark place of your hearts, in the dark place of your minds. Now you do well to take heed to this light, for it leads you to the day star and day dawning. Out of Egypt have I called my son, said the Lord, and Israel was called God's son, who was called out of the house of darkness and bondage. They had light in Goshen, when the children of Egypt were in darkness, and could not see one another. For now the children of light have light, and can see one another. The children of Egypt, Sodom, and Babylon cannot see one another. And so, they do well that take heed to the light, but they do ill that do not take heed to the light, for they walk in darkness, and know not where they go, and stumble at noonday, the highest time of light. For this light leads to the day dawning, and day star arising in their hearts, which is a sure word of prophecy. A prophet is a seer, and so with the light he will see that which manifests is light. By it you shall see the day dawning, and the day star arising, and when that arises, the sons of God sing together because of the joyful day. And the saints sing, who have long been in the brambly, briary wilderness, and in the house of bondage, of darkness and trouble, and of sorrow and misery. Therefore there is joy when the day star appears and the day dawn. There is great cause of joy for all the sons of God when the day star appears, and for them to sing together, for long nights of trouble and travail have they been in. The path of the just is a shining light, Pro 4:18, the path of the unjust is darkness, so there are but two paths. Now the unjust cannot abide to hear talk of the light, but call it natural, and created and made, or conscience, they do not know what to call it, whose darkness cannot comprehend the light, though it shines in the darkness. And so, the path of the just being a shining light, which shines more and more unto the perfect day, signifying that the day is come, that the just has his path, and his path is a shining light, and so increases, shines more and more unto the perfect day. Now the unjust being in darkness, They hate the light and love darkness rather than light. And they hate the just man's path, the light, because their deeds are evil, for the light will reprove them. John 3:19-21. So the just man's path is sufficient, a shining light. For it shines more and more, it increases, it is sufficient, and brings to the perfect day. Now the unjust, whose path is darkness, say, it is not sufficient. But such cannot abide the light, cannot abide the just man's path, nor the just either, but hate both, and speak against him and his path with his darkness that cannot comprehend the light, though light shines in his darkness. And therefore, if he cannot comprehend the light with his darkness, how can he comprehend the prophets and apostles and Christ's words? But calls light darkness and darkness light, and calls it natural or created or made or conscience. And so this comes to be fulfilled on them, as John 1:5 said, who with their darkness could not comprehend the light, yet they would be talking of the saints' words, law and prophets, with their darkness, which could not comprehend the light. They would call light darkness, said Christ. If that light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Matt 6:23, you neither know the scriptures nor the power of God. Matt 22:29, how should they know the scriptures or the power of God either, whose darkness does not comprehend the light? A dark man is a blind man. A blind man has not true judgment. Therefore, how should they call it otherwise, but a natural light, a created or made light? So the Pharisees believed that Christ was to come and preached him to come, as the Protestants and Papists preach him, that he is come and to come, and can tell by scripture where he was crucified, as the Jews could tell by scripture where he was to be born. But they were all against Christ, the light. When he came, they said, Christ had a devil. The Pharisees said of him, who was light, that he was the prince of devils, who was the light and the truth and the life, and that he was the carpenter's son. So without the light they could not see him, nor his works with their darkness. Neither can they now, neither can they know the scriptures nor the power of God, whose darkness cannot comprehend the light. And John was a man sent from God, the greatest prophet born of a woman, who came for a witness to bear witness of the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world, that all through him might believe. And it is said in John 1:4, in Christ was life, and this life was the light of men. And so the life that is in Christ is the light of men. So this is a heavenly light, a divine light, a spiritual light, a saving light, which is the life of Christ, which is the light of men. Though the professors in Christ's time and these times, Papists and Protestants with their darkness, cannot comprehend the light, so not the life. So no true preachers of Christ without the light and life. John said, he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That he was not worthy to unloose the latchet of Christ's shoes. And yet John, who had seen Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, pointed his disciples to him and showed them Christ. And they forsook him and went to Christ. For John came for a witness, to bear witness of him who was the true light, and that he that was to come after him was preferred before him, for he was before him. Yet when John was cast into prison, he questioned whether Christ was he, or whether he should look for another, and sends to Christ. And Christ answers his messengers, and said unto them, the blind receive their sight, and the poor receive the gospel, etc., and as for these Papists and Protestants, and Jews, they question whether Christ, the light that lights every man that comes into the world, whether he is the spiritual, divine, saving, and heavenly light. And further, mark Christ's own words. He said, he is the light of the world that teaches you how to believe. That is to say, all his disciples, as Christ has taught them, who said, believe in the light. Now, believing in the light, you believe in that which does make manifest all things, for that which makes manifest is the light. And therefore to believe in the light is to believe in that which makes manifest Christ to be their way, their teacher, priest, mediator, interceder, savior, and redeemer. And he that believes in the light believes in that which makes manifest all false ways and false religions and false worship and false teachers and antichrists. For they that believe in the light, it manifests all true ways and true religions. And so, they are no true believers, neither Protestants nor Papists, who only believe Christ has come from Scripture, as the Jews believed Christ was to come from Scripture. But I say they are no true believers, but as they also believe in the light as Christ the heavenly man does teach. For the Jews may teach their people to believe from the Scripture, the Papists and Protestants may teach their children to believe from the same, but not believing in the light, they are no true believers, as Christ has taught. For Christ, who is the Savior, he teaches people how to believe, and said, believe in the light. which is plain that they are no true believers that do not believe in the light, neither Jews, nor those that have got the name of Christians. For believing in the light, they become children of the light. And so it is plain, they are no children of light but who believe in the light, nor children of the day. For children of darkness may profess scriptures, the devil may bring scriptures, and Protestant and Turk and Papist, and Jew may bring scriptures with a dark spirit and hold them in the unrighteousness. But there is no true believer in God, nor in Christ Jesus, but who believes in the light, which the scripture testifies of, showing there is no salvation, redemption, justification, sanctification, but to them who believe in the light that manifests all things, nor seeing Christ, who died and is risen for them. And therefore the heavenly man, the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, teaches how to believe and said, believe in the light while you have it. And this light will manifest him to be their way, their truth, and life, which light comes from him who enlightens every man that comes into the world, that all through the light might believe. And so they that believe not in the light, as Christ has taught, are no true ministers, nor true messengers, nor true disciples, nor true Christians, nor true preachers of Christ Jesus, who believe not as he has taught them. But they that lay away Christ's teaching, and teach one another to deny the way that Christ has taught to believe in, are keepers of people in darkness, out of the light, and call it natural, created and made, and conscience. And so with their darkness and blindness give the light such names, who with their darkness cannot comprehend it. For he that believes in the light, it lets him see the scriptures, the prophets, Christ and the apostles' words, and by it they do distinguish the true prophets' words from the false, the holy men's words from the unholy, the sanctified from those who are not sanctified, Christ's words from antichrists, the true apostles' words from the false. So Christ the light teaches his people to believe in that which manifests all things, and they that believe in the light have the witness in themselves of Christ, in whom they do believe they have the witness in themselves, that he is their Redeemer and Savior and their way, their truth, and their life. For with the light they see him, they believing in the light that makes manifest. And after they believe in the light, become children of the light. They witness themselves that they are sealed, for their belief in the light stands in Christ the light, who has bought and purchased them. And after that they are sealed by the Spirit of promise, having God's mark or stamp set upon them, they can set to their seal that God is true in all his promises, in all his prophets concerning Christ Jesus, who taught them to believe in the light. With the light they see and come to know the three that bear record in heaven, and the three that bear record on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Asterisk below are three testifying events you must experience, which you see by the light with the eyes of your heart, as they occur in your heart. The three events discussed below are what occur when you are truly born again. First, the Spirit that bears witness in the earth, which mortifies them, which circumcises them, which leads them into all truth, in which Spirit is their fellowship, and a bond of peace, which keeps down that which troubles them. By which Spirit the believers are baptized into one body, brought out of the many bodies. And so by the Spirit they are brought to the one head, who is Christ Jesus, though there are many heads in the world. By which Spirit they are sanctified, by which Spirit they are instructed, by which Spirit they worship God, by which Spirit they are covered, by which Spirit they pray, and by which Spirit they sing praises to God who is a Spirit, by which Spirit they have an understanding, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, which is to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, which is life eternal. Secondly, they come to know the water which is a witness in the earth, by which they are washed, their minds, their souls, their spirits, and in their bodies with this pure water. And this is a witness in the earth with the light. To those who believe in it, it manifests these two witnesses in the earth, and with the light they see the Pope's counterfeit holy water, which he has set up since the apostles' days, who with the light bear witness against it, not to be God's witness, nor of God's setting up. And so the children of the light, who believe in the light, their bodies, their souls, their spirits, and their minds are washed clean in this pure, clean, holy water. That comes from above, from the pure, holy God, which is one of these witnesses in the earth. The third witness is his blood, with which the hearts of people are sprinkled, and their consciences are sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. As Moses sprinkled the outside of the posts, etc., with the blood of bulls and goats, which blood of bulls and goats, Christ's blood ends, which sprinkles the heart and conscience of people. So this blood of Jesus Christ, the heavenly man, is felt in the hearts and consciences of people, by which blood they are sanctified, they are cleansed from all their dead works, to serve the living God, and to serve their dead works no longer. So by this blood they are cleansed from all sin. Those who walk in the light and believe in the light, they are children of the light and children of the day. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses them from all sin, and their garments are made white in the blood of the Lamb, by which they come to testify of Jesus. They overcome the beast, the whore, the false church. And so every true believer believes as Christ has taught them, to believe in the light, that so they may become children of the light. They have these three witnesses that bear witness in the earth, to bear witness in themselves. And they can set to their seal that God is true in all his works, in prophets and apostles and his Son. And they shall come to know, and do come to know, the three that bear record in heaven, and the three that bear record in the earth. George Fox, Letter 270. All who are gathered in the name of Jesus, and are made alive by him and quickened by him, come to the flock of Christ. And know where they feed at noonday, they are gathered into the name of Jesus Christ, whose name is above every name. And know that there is no salvation under the whole heaven, but in the name of Jesus, in the testimony that they have of Jesus, which is the Spirit, by which they see Jesus and see his pastures of life, see his springs of life and his rivers of life and his bread of life, and see the footsteps of the flock, the testimony of Jesus, the Spirit, by which they see him and his flock, and they see the barren mountains they have been upon and come off from. And therefore, all you who are gathered into the name of Jesus and walk in the path of the righteous, where the footsteps of the flock are, do not quench the Spirit in anyone, and if anyone will not have your bread of life and water of life, let them fast, who will neither receive nor give. For the bread of life and water of life are not only given to feed yourselves, but that by them you may feed others and refresh others. Therefore have bread in your houses, and water in your own well, and fruit from your own tree, and salt in yourselves, to savor one another, so that you may try all things, and have oil in your own lamps, that they may burn in your own temple, and odor and frankincense, that it may burn continually upon your own altar, that it may ascend as a sweet savor, holy and pure, up to God who is holy and pure. Do not be moved off your ground, in which you may grow and increase. And so do not quench the Spirit, nor despise prophecy, nor hate the light, but improve your talent. Do not hide it, but improve it. Mind the kingdom within, and the heavenly penny, and the Spirit of God, who is given to instruct you, and walk according to the rule of the Spirit of God, that he has given to you all to profit with, and mind the truth in the inward parts, so that you may be adorned and arrayed with a meek and a quiet spirit. For the light that shines in your hearts will give you the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, so that you may know the heavenly treasure in your earthly vessels, and the day star to arise, the day to dawn in your own hearts, that you may become temples of Christ, he to dwell with you, and walk with you, and sup with you, and the blood of Christ to sprinkle your hearts from dead works, and your consciences also, that you may serve the living God. So know the true faith to purify your hearts, which Christ is the author and finisher of, and the true hope to purify you. And so, be true believers in the light, as Christ commands, and become children of the light. For he who believes has the witness in himself. And know the true word in your hearts and mouths, which is the word of faith the apostle preached, which distinguishes your good thoughts from bad, and your good words from bad, which word is in your hearts to obey and do. Which is like a hammer to hammer down sin and evil, and as a sword to cut it down, and as a fire to burn it up. So that by that word you may be sanctified, by that word you may have salvation, by that word you may be reconciled to God, by which all things are upheld by his word and power. By this word you may be born again of the immortal seed that lives and abides forever. And so from this word you may have your milk. For this is the engrafted word that is able to save the soul and raise the soul that is immortal up unto the immortal God. And by this word you will see over all the deceivers of your souls, which word was before they were. And by this word you will understand the scriptures of truth, which cannot be broken. And by this word you will come to judge all those who have gotten into the imaginations concerning the scriptures, and who set them up in the place of God and Christ, in their dark imaginations, who in their darkness cannot comprehend the light. And by this word you will have spiritual riches, out of this word is poverty. And by this word you will come to know life and salvation, for in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And Christ's name is called the Word of God, and the Scriptures are the words which are to be fulfilled. So all be diligent in the truth, that you may be fruitful in the Word of God, that it may have its passage through you all. George Fox from Letter 33, all friends and brethren everywhere, in the life and power of the Lord wait, and from it none walk, but that to the light of Christ in everyone you may be made manifest, that the fear and dread of the Lord may be in all your hearts, that nothing may reign but life itself. And so, all your meetings in every place keep, waiting in the light, which from Christ does come, the Savior of your souls, that his presence in the midst you may all feel, who are gathered together in his name and power in his light, which is his name, and from the world's gatherings are turned. And if any is moved, who are turned to the light, with the power which comes from him, to any service for the Lord, be obedient to it, and you will see Christ with you to the end of the world. But if any go, before they are moved, and so from the light walk, he is a stumbling block, and is to be judged and condemned by the light, and is out of the wisdom and out of the fear, and sows to the flesh and reaps corruption, and by the light is condemned. For that answers not the light in every man's conscience, neither does it reach to the life, the spirit in prison, but it manifests weakness and foolishness and nakedness, which is from the light and contrary to it. And such are stumbling blocks, and do not answer the witness of God and the conscience. Therefore wait all in the light, to receive the power from him who is not of the world, that you may be preserved from nakedness and weakness. For that which goes from the light and is not guided with it runs into the lust. And there is the slothful, which is to be judged, and so that will offend to which the woe is. For it answers not that of God and the conscience. Neither is it honorable, nor of good report. For that which is honorable and of good report answers that which is of God, and answers the light of Christ in every man in the world with wisdom, which from the light does come, even from him by whom the world was made. Therefore, all friends, this is a charge to you all, and a command to you all in the presence of the living God. In the light, life, and power, and wisdom of God walk. So to that of God in everyone you may be manifested in the sight of God, and it may be your witness that you are of God in every man's conscience, which witnesses against the world, and for him who is not of the world. And wait all in the light for the wisdom by which all things were made, with it to use all the Lord's creatures to his glory, and none to stumble one another about the creatures. For that is not from the light, for which end they were created, and with the wisdom by which they were made, you may be kept out of the misuse of them in the image of God, that you may come to see that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the earth may come to yield her increase and to enjoy her Sabbaths. And all such that walk contrary to the light may be turned to the light, that with the light they may see and condemn that which is contrary to it. So that in the wisdom of God you may all be kept, and in the fear of the Lord and his righteousness established, which is far from oppression, where all bonds of iniquity are broken, and the prince of darkness judged out, and the prince of peace reigns, under whose dominion keep and walk. And all that cause strife are to be condemned and shut out, which have their eye without, and are condemned by the light, the God of the world having blinded the eye of the unbeliever. Therefore, you believers in the light, wait in the wisdom, that with it and in it you may be ordered to the glory of God, that among you nothing may reign but light and life and wisdom and power, the dread and fear of the Lord be among you, and truth and righteousness reign, which will answer the light of Christ in every man. And all that is contrary, let it be condemned with the light which comes from him by which the world was made, who was before the world was, who lights every man that comes into the world. Though they believe not in it, yet you may answer the light in every man, though it be their condemnation. So being kept in the light, which comes from him by whom the world was made, who was before it was made, you come to receive the wisdom by which all things were made, and with it to order and use them to the glory of God. For that which is not from the light nor from the wisdom is the offender, which is to be condemned with the light which comes from the life. And to it in you all take heed, that your hearts may be joined together to God, and all that is contrary condemned. And so, the Lord God Almighty preserve and keep you all in wisdom. P.S. Friends, a warning from the Lord to you all in wisdom to walk, that you may adorn everyone, what you profess, that the measure of God's Spirit in everyone you may answer. And know the Lord to guide your understandings, and let his wisdom be justified by you all, and you in the measure of the Spirit of God in unity kept, that you may see righteousness spring and flourish among you, and no deceit stand, nor nothing that is deceitful. But with the eternal judge it down, and keep it down, that nothing may live that is for the sword, which would defile the land. Therefore in that which is eternal dwell as a royal priesthood, in that which comes from him by whom the world was made, who to all your souls is a friend, from where the refreshing is received. So the Lord God Almighty preserve and keep you all, that in his life, dread, and power you may be preserved. George Fox, After the Law and Before Christ. The only people who received the favor of God were those who walked close to conforming to the law's requirements. Those who ignored his law were disregarded by him, Heb 8:9. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, with only a belief in his name and humble sorrow for the past, we can approach God and receive the operations of his changing grace to purify our hearts and consciences, whatever our burden of past sins may be. With faith in the name of Jesus, by grace and the cross, he can now make you perfect in every good work to do his will, Heb 13:11. A forever cleansing and perfection with resulting union is now available to all who go to him for change. Concerning the Church of Christ being clothed with the sun and having the moon under her feet, they are living members, living stones, built up as a spiritual household, the children of the promise and of the seed and flesh of Christ, as the apostle said, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. They are the good seed, the children of the everlasting kingdom written in heaven, who have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. They sit together in heavenly places in Christ, are clothed with the Son of Righteousness, Christ Jesus, and have the moon under their feet. Rev 12:1. So all changeable things that are in the world, all changeable religions, changeable worships, changeable ways, fellowships, churches, and teachers in the world are as the moon, for the moon changes, but the sun does not change. The sun of righteousness never changes, nor sets, nor goes down. But all the ways, religions, worships, fellowships of the world, and the teachers there change like the moon. But the true church, which Christ is the head of, which is in God the Father, and is called the pillar and ground of truth, whose citizenship is in heaven, this church is clothed with the sun, Christ Jesus her head, who does not change and has all changeable things under her feet. These are the living members, born again of the immortal seed by the word of God, who feed upon the immortal milk and live and grow by it. Such are the new creatures in Christ Jesus, who makes all things new and sees the old things pass away. His church, his members, which are clothed with the Son, their worship is in the Spirit and in the truth, which does not change, which truth the devil, the foul, unclean spirit, is out of and cannot get into this worship in spirit and truth. Their religion is pure and undefiled before God that keeps from the spots of the world, and their way is the new and living way, Christ Jesus. So the Church of Christ, that is clothed with the sun, that has the moon and all changeable religions and ways under her feet, has an unchangeable worship, religion and way, an unchangeable rock and foundation, Christ Jesus, an unchangeable high priest, and so are children of the New Testament, and in the everlasting covenant of light and life. All who profess the scriptures both of the New and Old Testament and are not in Christ Jesus, the apostle tells them they are reprobate, sin still lives in them, if Christ is not in them. These that are not in Christ cannot be clothed with Christ, the Son of Righteousness that never changes. They are under the changeable moon in the world, in the changeable things, the changeable religions, ways, worships, teachers, rocks, and foundations. But Christ, the Son of God and Son of Righteousness, does not change, in whom his people are gathered and sit together in heavenly places in him, clothed with Christ Jesus, the Son, who is the mountain that fills the whole earth with his divine power and light. So all his people see him and feel him both by sea and land. He is in all places of the earth felt and seen by all his. He said to the outward professors, the Jews, I am from above, you are from below, you are of this world. So their religions, worships, ways, teachers, faiths, beliefs, and creeds are made by men, and are below of this world that changes like the moon. You may see their religions, ways, worships, and teachers are all changeable like the moon. But Christ, the Son, with which the church is clothed, does not change, nor his church. For they are spiritually minded, and their way, worship, and religion is spiritual, from Christ, who is from above and not of this world. Christ has redeemed you from this world, their changeable rudiments and elements and old things and their changeable teachers, and from their changeable faiths and beliefs. For Christ is the author and finisher of his church's faith, who said, believe in the light that you may become children of the light. And it is given them not only to believe, but to suffer for his name. So this faith and belief is above all faiths and beliefs, which change like the moon. God's people are a holy nation, a peculiar people, a spiritual household and royal priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifice to God by Jesus Christ, and are zealous of righteousness, godly, good works, and their zeal is for what is of God against the evil which is not of God. Christ took upon him the seed of Abraham. He does not say the corrupt seed of the Gentiles. So according to the flesh, he was of the holy seed of Abraham and David, and his holy body and blood was an offering and a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, as a lamb without blemish, whose flesh saw no corruption. By the one offering of himself in the New Testament or New Covenant, he has put an end to all the offerings and sacrifices among the Jews in the Old Testament. Christ, the holy seed, was crucified, dead, and buried according to the flesh, and raised again the third day, and his flesh saw no corruption. Though he was crucified in the flesh, yet raised to life again by the Spirit and is alive, and lives forevermore, and has all power in heaven and earth given to him, and reigns over all, and is the one mediator between God and man, even the man Christ Jesus. Christ said, he gave his flesh for the life of the world. And the apostle said, his flesh saw no corruption. So what saw no corruption he gave for the life of the corrupt world to bring them out of corruption. Christ said again, he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. He that eats not his flesh and drinks not his blood, which is the life of the flesh, has not eternal life. As the apostle said, all died in Adam, then are all dead. Now all coming spiritually to eat the flesh of Christ, the second Adam, and drink his blood and flesh give all the dead in Adam life, and quicken them out of their sins and trespasses in which they were dead. They come to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and are living members of the church of Christ that he is the head of, and are clothed with the Son of Righteousness, the Son of God, that never changes, and have the changeable moon under their feet, and all changeable worldly things, inventions, and works of men's hands. These see the people how they change from one worship to another, from one religion to another, from one way to another, and one church to another, yet their hearts are not changed. The letter of the scripture is read by the Christians like the Jews, but the mystery is hidden. They have the sheep's clothing, calling themselves Christians, but are inwardly devoured from the Spirit, which should bring them into the lamb's and sheep's nature. The scripture said, all the uncircumcised must go down into the pit. Therefore all must be circumcised with the Spirit of God, which puts off the body of death and sins of the flesh, that came into man and woman by their disobedience and transgressing God's commands. I say, all must be circumcised with the Spirit, which puts off the body of death and sins of the flesh, before they come up into Christ, their rest, which never fell, and be clothed with him, the Son of Righteousness. George Fox and more from his journal, the apostle said that there must be a falling away first before the wicked one, and man of sin, the son of perdition, be revealed, which betrays Christ within, as the son of perdition betrayed Christ without. And those who betray Christ within, crucify to themselves Christ afresh, and put him to open shame. Before the apostles deceased, this man of sin and son of perdition was revealed. For they saw Antichrist come, the false prophets, false apostles, and deceivers come, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. They saw the wolves dressed in the sheep's clothing, and those who went in Cain's, Korah's, and Balaam's way, and Jezebel's, and the whore of Babylon, the whore of confusion, the mother of harlots, and those who were enemies to the cross of Christ, who served not the Lord Jesus Christ but their own bellies. These Christ saw should come, and said, if it were possible they should deceive the elect, and commanded his followers not to go after them. The apostle said, turn away from such, and Christ and his apostles warned the church of Christ of such. In this day of Christ and his gospel, after the long night of apostasy from the light, grace, truth, life, and spirit of Christ Jesus, the son of perdition, the wicked one, the man of sin is revealed again. And the inwardly devouring wolves in sheep's clothing are seen, and the spirit of Cain, Korah, Balaam, Jezebel, the antichrists, false prophets, and false apostles, and those who are enemies to the cross of Christ. Those serve not the Lord Jesus, but their own bellies and crucify Christ to themselves and put him to open shame. This spirit we have seen in this gospel day of Christ. But Christ will consume them with the spirit of his mouth, and destroy them with the brightness of his coming. But God's people, whom he has chosen to salvation in Christ from the beginning, through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, stand steadfast in Christ Jesus, and are thankful to God by and through his Son, their rock and salvation, their happiness, and eternal inheritance. The apostle said, "You were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So when people return to Christ, their shepherd, they know his voice and follow him, and are returned to the bishop of their souls. Then they believe in him and receive wisdom and understanding from him, who is from above, heavenly and spiritual. Then they act like spiritual holy men and women and come to be members of the Church of Christ. Then a spiritual care comes upon the elders in Christ, that all the members walk in Christ, in his light, grace, spirit, and truth, that they may adorn the confession and profession of Christ, and see that all walk in the order of the Holy Spirit and the everlasting gospel of peace, life, and salvation. This order keeps out of confusion, for the gospel of peace, the power of God, was before confusion was. All the heirs of the gospel are heirs of its order, and are in this gospel which brings life and immortality to light in them, by which all men and women may see their work and service in it, to look after the poor widows and fatherless, to see that nothing be lacking, and that all honor the Lord in their lives and conversations. When the whole house of Israel were in their graves and tombs, and were called the scattered dry bones, yet they could speak, and say their bones were dry, their hope was lost, or they were without hope, and they were cut off. They were alive outwardly and could speak outwardly. So what is called Christendom may very well be called the scattered dry bones, and be said to be in their graves and tombs, dead from the heavenly breath of life, the spirit and word of life that gathers to God. Though they can speak and are alive outwardly, yet they remain in the congregations or churches of the dead, which do not have the virtue of the life in Christ. For the Jews, whom God poured his Spirit upon and gave them his law, when they rebelled against the Spirit of God and turned from God and his law, they came to be dry scattered bones and were turned into their graves and tombs. So Christendom that is turned from the grace, truth, and light of Christ, and the Spirit that God poured upon all flesh, they have become the scattered, dry bones, are in their graves and tombs, and are the congregations or churches of the dead, though they can speak and are alive outwardly. Christ said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." He gave his flesh for the life of the world. And he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Christ is the quickening spirit. All being dead in Adam are to be quickened and made alive by Christ, the second Adam. And when they are quickened and made alive by him, they meet together in the name of Jesus Christ their Savior, who died for their sins and is risen for their justification, and so was dead and is alive and lives forevermore. All whom he has quickened and made alive, even all the living, meet in the name of Jesus who is alive, and he, their living prophet, shepherd, and bishop, is in the midst of them, and is their living rock and foundation, and a living mediator between them and the living God. So the living praise the living God through Jesus Christ, through whom they have peace with God. All the living have rest in Christ their life. He is their sanctification, their righteousness, their treasure of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, which is spiritual and heavenly. He is the spiritual tree and root, which all the believers in the light, the life in Christ, that pass from the death in Adam to the life in Christ, and overcome the world and are born of God, are grafted into Christ, the heavenly tree, who supports all the spiritual branches or grafts. These meet in his name, are gathered in him, and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, their life, who has quickened and made them alive. So all the living worship the living God in his Holy Spirit and truth, in which they live and walk. Into this worship the foul, unclean spirit, the devil, cannot get, for the Holy Spirit and truth is over him and he is out of it. This is the standing worship which Christ set up in his new covenant. And those who are quickened by Christ are the living stones, living members, and spiritual household and church or congregation of Christ, who is the living head and husband. Those who are made alive by Christ are a living church, have a living head, and are come from the congregations or churches of the dead in Adam, where death and destruction talk of God and of his prophets and apostles, in their wisdom that is below, earthly and devilish, in the knowledge that is brutish, and in the understanding that comes to nothing. For what they know is natural, by their natural tongues, arts, and sciences, in which they corrupt themselves. This is the state of the dead in Adam. But the quickened, that are made alive by Christ, discern between the living and the dead. George Fox, this website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and his kingdom.